Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, this is a verse that we've discussed before, but that we all want to look at today in regard to a topic that I think is personal to many people. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes this to the young evangelist Timothy. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, I was doing some door knocking a couple of years ago, and I was walking through a neighborhood, and I knocked on this one person's door, and she came to the door, and she opened the door, and as soon as she opened the door, she let out a little scream and stepped back, you know, from the door like that. And I was a little taken aback myself because, you know, that's normally not the response that you get from someone who's answering a door that you've knocked on. But when we were knocking on the door, then we explained who we were and what we were doing. We were handing out some literature and some encouraging thoughts to people as we're going around the neighborhood, and she took the literature, but then she said, "You know, go away. I don't really want to talk to you." And then she made this statement. She said, "I'm scared and I'm alone." And you know, that's, I think, what people tend to think sometimes when they don't know what to do, or they're in unfamiliar circumstances or difficult situations. You know, this idea of fear is something that each one of us have to deal with. We all have fear of one kind or another. Now, this woman that I was knocking on her door, she had got to the point that her fear had started to control her interaction with other people. And she was afraid, and she was, as a result, alone because of that. Fear is a distressing emotion aroused by what we perceive to be impending danger or evil or pain or other things that may come up in life. And whether the threat is real or whether it is imagined on our part, we can still have this very sometimes debilitating emotion, this feeling or condition of being afraid. And while we have this within our life, the Bible teaches us some things about fear that we really need to listen to and that we really need to heed. You see, because many of us do live in fear. And I'm not necessarily talking about the church, though there may be some in the church who live in fear. But in our culture and our society around us, there are those who live in fear. Well, this morning I'd like to see what the Bible has to say about fear, and specifically in answer to the question, why do we live in fear? Fear can be an emotion that is crippling and debilitating, and it's something that we do have to fight on a daily basis, because fear crops up within each one of our lives in different ways and in different forms. Fear prompts us to either flee or to fight. And because of that, fear is an emotion that can really damage relationships. In fact, when you think about it, fear is the opposite of love. Love is concerned about making relationships. Love is concerned about maintaining those relationships. Love is concerned about holding on to those relationships. But fear is not. Fear is a very selfish emotion that places self above others. And when we have fear within our life, when we fight with people, we'll damage relationships. When we flee from people, we will break relationships. But as Paul has said here to Timothy, as Christians, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So why do we live in fear sometimes? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about this. We may live in fear, number one, because of ignorance. You know, people fear things that they do not understand, or sometimes we fear the unknown. You know, and those statements that we've just made are simply saying that we fear things because of our own ignorance. Some have said we fear what we do not know. I want to use an illustration here, and this is an illustration of fearing something that we do not know. And maybe you know what this is, and maybe you don't. If you do know what this is, then just kind of keep it to yourself. But for the rest of us, I want you to pay attention and listen to this and think very carefully about these things. Have you ever heard of dihydrogen monoxide? Dihydrogen monoxide. It's a colorless and odorless chemical compound, also referred to by some as hydric acid. And should you be concerned about dihydrogen monoxide? Well, dihydrogen monoxide is not classified as a toxic or carcinogenic substance, but it is known to constitute many toxic substances, diseases, and disease-causing agents, environmental hazards, and can even be lethal to humans in small quantities. Dihydrogen monoxide, if you accidentally inhale it, it can cause death. It can cause severe tissue damage if you're prolonged to it excessively. It's a major component in acid rain. In its gaseous form, it can cause severe burns. Dihydrogen monoxide is used as an industrial solvent and coolant. It's used in nuclear power plants. It's used by U.S. Navy propulsion systems. Dihydrogen monoxide is used as an additive to many food products, including baby food and baby formula. Are you starting to get concerned about this? Is this something that's bothering you? Are you feeling a little bit of fear about dihydrogen monoxide? What is dihydrogen monoxide? Maybe you're just asking yourself that and you don't know. Dihydrogen monoxide is also known as H2O, or commonly known to us as water. Now, if you were feeling a little anxiety about dihydrogen monoxide, then why were you having that anxiety? Fear of the unknown. You see, all of these things that we said about it is true, but yet we know that water is something that is needful, that is helpful and can be good, and we need to use it in a good way. If you inhale it, can you die as a result of the inhale? Yeah, you can drown from water, right? But most of the time we recognize that we need it and it's good for us. Now, anything can produce fear within us, you see, even something that we consider relatively harmless, such as water. Now, sometimes false teachers can take advantage of our fear, specifically if we don't know what the Bible teaches. And they can warn us about things, and they can cause us to get upset about things, and we can let our fear take control. Well, we don't want to do that. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we don't want to allow fear to control us. What is the solution to not allowing fear to control us in this situation? It is having some knowledge about the things that we are doing. It's going out and doing some research, doing some study. And in regard to false teachers who come around and make us afraid of one thing or another, we've got to study the Bible and we've got to understand it. John says in 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." How can we test those spirits? By knowing God's Word. In order to avoid fearing what we do not know, you see, we need to educate ourselves. Now, I'm going to tell a story about myself, and it's a true story, but when I was working in the business world, I did a lot of flying, and I got to the point where I started to develop a fear of flying. And there was always some anxiety there when I was flying. And I was always worried about flying. Now I had to do the flying and get on the plane so I could go do my job. And so I did. I got on the plane. But there was always some anxiety and fear within me about that. Well, I met a lady one day who told me, she said, "You know, sometimes A lot of people have a fear of flying because, you know, they just don't know what to do. And there are some things that you can do in order to prepare yourself for flying. And there's some steps that you can take. And you know what? She told me some things and I learned a little bit. And after I learned those things, some steps that I could take in order to help, my fear of flying went way down. Now, what was the difference between myself before I had that information and myself after I had that information? Just one thing. I got a little knowledge. I got a little knowledge. And a little knowledge goes a long way when it comes to combating the problem of fear. Peter said this, that God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and virtue. You see, God hasn't left us without the tools that we need to conquer fear in this life. He's given us the knowledge in His Word, the Bible. And if we will look at it and study it, then we will have the tools that we need to overcome fear. We need to know God's Word so that we don't have to live in fear. Listen to Psalm 37 and verse 5. It says, "Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Now, a lot of times we live in fear because we don't really commit ourselves to God like we need to. But there's no need to live in fear because God wants us to be loving and God wants us to have a good life. The Christian need not live in dread even of God Himself. Now, the Bible says that we need to fear God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. We need to fear God, but not in the sense of dreading Him, because as Christians, those who are God's children, we know that God loves us and that He wants good things for us. Yes, we're supposed to reverence God and honor God and be in awe of God. And sometimes the word fear can mean those things, and it's good for us to have those things. But the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And God wants to help us, and He loves us, and He doesn't want us to live in dread of Him. We do want to honor and respect Him, but we need not live in fear. The Christian need not fear death either. And death is sometimes one of the great fears that we have within our life. But the Bible informs us about death. It tells us that it's appointed that all men are going to die, and it prepares us for death. And just as I could prepare myself to get on that airplane and fly across the country, so also we can prepare ourselves by listening to the Word of God. We can prepare ourselves for death. How do we prepare? Well, we've got to hear God's Word. Isaiah 55 and verse 3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David." We need to hear God and His Word. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said, "For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sin." John chapter 8 and verse 24. We need to repent of our sins. God said in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32, "For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore turn and live." God wants us to repent. And He wants us to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. "Therefore whosoever confesses me," Jesus says, "before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven." The Bible teaches that to prepare for death, we must be baptized. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved," Jesus says. "But he who does not believe will be condemned," Mark 16 and verse 16. And we need to live faithfully for Him. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give unto you the crown of life," Revelation 2 and verse 10. Now we can prepare for death. There are some things that we can do, and these are some of those things. Now I'm not saying there's not anything else that we can work on. There are many things that we can work on. But if you want to be prepared for death, then you need to become a child of God. And this is how you do that, and how you can prepare. And in preparing and doing something about the situation, you do not have to live in fear. You see, we live in fear sometimes simply because of ignorance. But sometimes we live in fear because of lack of love for one another. When we don't love God like we should, and we don't love one another like we should, then fear is usually the emotion that takes place of love. Fear is an easy emotion to just let happen. You really don't have to do anything for fear to come in. It's almost automatic in a lot of ways. Fear is a very animalistic emotion. But love is an emotion to which we need to give some effort. It's an emotion that involves agency, and that we have to be responsible in seeking love and in pursuing love within our life. And when we have love within our life, it will cast out the fear that is there. You see, when we really love someone, we're not going to be afraid of them because we're going to trust them and we're going to let them within our life. Love is something that we must constantly and actively practice, as Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 through 8. Now listen what the Apostle John says about the conflict between love and fear in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 17 through 19. He says this, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world." Now listen to what he says. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Now when we have love within our life, we can cast out the fear that would otherwise tend to overcome us and conquer us. There is this tension between love and fear, and we need to cast out the fear and let love prevail. And so why do we live in fear? Sometimes we live in fear because there is a lack of love within our lives. And then finally, why do we live in fear? Because of a lack of faith in God. You know, we show a lack of faith in God when we worry and when we have anxiety. Because worry and anxiety is a form of fear. Now Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20 these words, "If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" You see, sometimes we worry about things that we really don't need to worry about. We worry about where we're going to get our food from, or our clothes, or shelter, or all of these things. But God says, if you just trust in me, I will provide for you. Can we trust in God? Can we love God enough not to let fear overtake us within our lives? Yes, we do need to love God enough to do that. We show a lack of faith in God when we fear these sudden disasters that may come upon us within our life when we really don't know whether they're going to happen or not. The apostles experienced that when they were in that little boat in the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden that storm came up and the winds and the waves started blowing them back and forth, and they turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." And here was Jesus' response, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Matthew 8 and verse 26. So fear does not need to control us if we love God and we put our faith and trust in Him. Listen to what the psalmist has to say about conquering fear within his life by trusting in God. Psalm 91 and verses 5 through 9. He says this, "When we trust in God, when we really love Him, when we really put Him first in our life, here is what is going to happen. You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Behold, you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Now think about making the Lord your dwelling place and not living in fear. Why do we live in fear? Well, we live in fear sometimes because of ignorance of God and His Word. And we can do something about that by studying and learning more about God's Word. We live in fear sometimes because of lack of love for God and one another, when if we would just love other people, we could cast that fear out of our lives completely. And sometimes we live in fear because of lack of faith in God and His Word. And we need to cast that lack of faith out as well. Putting our trust in God, knowing that He loves us and cares for us, and He has done everything for us. And will He not freely give us all things, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8? Let's not let fear go unchecked within our lives. When fear goes unchecked, it destroys our relationships with God and with other people. It makes us to trust in ourselves instead of trusting in God. It turns us into anxious and isolated individuals. Oh, how we need to fight fear. Let's instead say with the psalmist in Psalm 118 in verse 6, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Do you have fear in your life that you need help with this morning? We're ready to help you. We can pray for you, or you can respond to the invitation to become a child of God and to deal with that fear of death that maybe you've been thinking about through those steps of salvation that we discussed earlier. Whatever your need may be, won't you come now while we sing this song of invitation?